Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap. Today we have an interesting guest. I'm sure a lot of you, particularly those of you in the Stanton area, are going to be familiar with the ongoing and, I guess, soon-to-be-started project right around the intersection of 213 and Maple Street. And what we're looking at here is soon-to-be an Appalachian Wireless cell tower. And some residents are obviously pleased and some are concerned. So to address some of those concerns, we're fortunate enough today to have Marty Thacker of Appalachian Wireless to come on the air with us. And he's going to give us a little background on himself and the company and exactly what to expect in this neighborhood.
Yes, Corey, and thank you for having us on the show today. Back in when Appalachian Wireless was first formed, one of the first cell towers that we built was here in Powell County. And I was fortunate enough to be here when that was built. And I think a gentleman, Bud Parks, that many of you know, that was on WSKV radio at that time, he helped us get that site, and it has served us well over the past years.
I'm sure it has, and I know for a long time around here, particularly those in the more rural parts of Powell County, the lucky ones were the ones that have Appalachian Wireless. I know if we have, going back to the singular days, if you weren't in the middle of town, you weren't getting anywhere. So I'm sure it was a really vital part. You know, particularly I was always jealous of people who had Appalachian Wireless. But and then the company itself, it's out of a town called Iville, or
it's located in Iville, Kentucky.
Iville, Kentucky.
That's located between Prestonsburg and Pikeville, Kentucky, on Highway 23. Kind of closer to the Prestonsburg Inn than Pikeville. But.
And I know the further east you go, obviously the larger the subscribership you have, but you have a pretty good footprint here in Powell County.
Yes, yes, and we really like working with people in communities such as Stanton and so forth. To us, Stanton is a big place.
Well, and you mentioned to me off air that Stanton is one of your higher trafficked areas. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and that's one reason we're wanting to build the tower there, Corey, is that although Furnace Mountain Tower has served us over the years, I think it was built in 1982-83 time frame. Mm-hmm. And like everything else, it has a life, you know, and it served us well. Back in the days when we had 3-watt bag phones and high-powered antennas and things, it worked very well. And today we have smartphones and things that we want to transmit pictures and all that. And it's just a little bit too far out of town. And not only is it far out of town, but it limits us very much on capacity and being able to do things more in the future that we see coming down the road that we won't be able to do from there.
And you mentioned to me kind of the way these towers are set up and how they reach their capacity. Can you kind of give us a little bit of an explanation of how the 120 degrees situation that you were explaining to me?
Yes. When the Furnace Mountain Tower started, it had what was called omni antennas, served 360 degrees, and it would handle a capacity of approximately 50 calls at one time. And that was fine as long as we done voice and all this, but along comes CDMA, which was the first step. And once we got to CDMA, we could handle a few more calls and a few more data sessions, but we had to divide that 360 degrees into three segments, each one of them being 120 degrees. Now only one of those 120 degrees sectors works and covers the town of Stanton. Okay. The other two are pointed away from it, which that's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm. And so they're pointed out the mountain and through the really rural parts of the county.
Yes, and they don't do much good at all. Mm-hmm. But you can't turn them any other way but that.
Right.
So, anyhow, with that said, and Stanton is growing in leaps and bounds in our network. And also, it being so far out of town and people trying to make data transmissions, and when I say data transmissions, like uploading a picture to Facebook or something of that nature, it takes a long period of time because there are so many errors that occur due to the poor signal quality. Mm-hmm. And the longer it takes, the more it ties up, and therefore the capacity goes away to pretty much nothing. Especially you take 8 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the day, and then along about 3 o'clock when school lets out, it's just about impossible to use here.
I think about everybody's noticed that.
Yeah.
There are some times when you just can't quite get through.
And getting back, we talked, Corey, about the 120 degrees. And that's one reason it brings us right to the town of Stanton, is that if we place this tower inside there to where we can use all 360 degrees of it, then we have ultimate capacity.
Mm-hmm.
People get good service and everything's, and we're set up for the future things that will be coming down the pike. And I don't know a whole lot about 5G. I've read a lot about it, seen a lot about it, heard a lot about it, but it's right on the heels of being something, you know,
right,
and coming here.
And so this tower will be, you know, it'll put you in a better position for that when that comes down
yes,
the line.
Oh, yes, yes. And it puts Stanton in a very good position, too, because they have something that is ready for state-of-the-art communications.
Mm-hmm. Now, the tower itself, I think a lot of us, and myself included, before I started speaking with you a little bit before we were on air, you kind of envision almost like an oil derrick when you think of what a cell tower looks like, this big, like a narrow skyscraper stuck right in the middle of the landscape. And, you know, understandably, I think a lot of people would look at that and think, well, I don't want that directly across the street from my house. But you told me that it's not really what we're, if that's the mental picture you have, that's not really the thing that you're thinking of.
That is correct. And we use in towns a structure that's called a monopole. And it'd be very similar to the light poles that you see out on the parkway that has the twinkling lights on. They're about 100 feet tall, and that's what this would be. It would be one pole, very slender, no guy wires, and the antenna's at the top of it.
And so this will just, it'll go just in that property there on Maple Street, just a straight up, singular, like you said, light pole looking thing, and then is there going to be any noticeable, weird-looking alien spacecraft kind of thing on the top of it, or is it just going
to... No, it, to me, it looks like a normal cell phone tower, but, you know,
okay,
to the, it has a layer of carriers on top of it, and it has the capability of doing up to 4 carriers on it, and we do that because, as we know today, we have CDMA technology, we have LTE technology, and we'll probably see 5G communications before we change and get rid of the CDMA. But you got to have room to rotate all that, and we can't cut the CDMA off till we get all those phones out of service, which may be years from now.
Right. And you you mentioned to me that you guys have even done polls like these in historical districts, and anyone who's ever lived or known anyone who lived in one of those knows how incredibly difficult it is even to paint your house in a district like that. So it's, you know, you're saying that this is so unobtrusive that it doesn't even bother historical neighborhoods to have one.
That is correct. I mean, they have a very strict guidelines, but they see the need for this type of communications, because who wants to go somewhere when you've got 5 or 6 kids on vacation and they can't use their cell phone?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm any, and that's,
I know, I know, mom and dad would like to see him.
Oh,
not.
Absolutely.
But now the kid ain't going to go.
That's, yeah, but you know, you're right that it is becoming as much of an infrastructure issue as you know, electricity and anything else. You know, people, when they want to relocate a business, when they want to relocate a family, they're not likely to want to move somewhere where they can't get any cell signal.
That is correct.
Now, you spoke a little bit about 5G and technologies like that, and while I've got you here and have the opportunity to pick your brain a little bit, we've never had a mobile technology expert before, so as far as things like that and down the line 5G technology and that kind of thing, it was a slow rollout for 4G here. I remember, you know, my eyes lighting up when we got it, and then LTE was just a whole different ballgame, but obviously, this does, like you had said, it puts you in a position where when 5G is available, it's something that's an easy rollout. But do you have any, and I won't hold you to it, but do you have any expectations about when just the average consumer can start looking to get to see that kind of service becoming available, not just in New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston, but, you know, in Stanton, in Campton? And
I do not today. I couldn't speculate on that, but seeing this in the past is that it's progressively got faster. When you start hearing about it, it's going to become a reality within a year or two.
Okay.
They're going to start selling it. I know that they do. They have some trials going on in the United States about it. And a lot of it is, these trials is to decide exactly how they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a period of that for several years, and then they say, well, this is how the standard of 5G is going to work. This is the way we want it.
Right.
And they experiment with it, too, to get it in that.
Now, one thing we had talked about that I do think people do want to know is this is going to make a huge difference, obviously, if you're an Appalachian Wireless customer. Now, if you're not an Appalachian Wireless customer, there's not going to be a noticeable impact. We don't want people coming with torches and pitchforks after you if they're, you know, like myself. I told you off air, I'm an AT&T customer, and I live right down the street from this proposed tower. So, obviously, there is one benefit from the public safety standpoint that you and I talked about, is if you dial 911 from a cell phone, it seeks the path of least resistance. It's going to take the closest tower it can hit from your signal, and it's going to route it to the 911 center. So, no matter what service you're on, that's obviously a benefit. You can't have enough towers in an emergency, you know, in our 911 center. Just in my time, we've received calls from Alabama. We regularly get calls from particularly one intersection in Richmond Road and Lexington. We get a lot of 911 calls from. So that's a good thing. But for the Appalachian Wireless subscribers in the area, what kind of difference would they notice, say, if you live on Paint Creek, when this, if this were to go active?
This will triple the capacity that we have here now, which we're running at capacity,
mm-hmm.
and most time over capacity, and that really causes us problems. But they will be seeing a lot better download speeds on internet. And when I say that, I'm saying, you know, we're talking about probably 22 meg download speeds.
Wow.
And when this thing gets bottled up, you know, we start crawling down toward 3 or 4 meg or something like that, and it really wreaks havoc on everybody. Everybody's trying. and it's kind of an odd situation, because the more they don't get service, the more they try.
Sure.
And the more it overloads it, it gets into a vicious circle.
I think we've all done that. The refresh button becomes your best friend, you know?
Yeah.
It can be frustrating. And that's one thing you mentioned to me that I didn't know, is that whenever you're trying to load your app or whatever you're trying to bring up on your phone, it's still trying to do it. You know, we just say, well, it's just running slow. It's not. It's just trying to find a path in, right?
Yes. Yes. A vacant path sometimes, and sometimes a path that has good signal strength to it. If it gets so many errors in its download, it scraps that and it says, all right, let's try this again. And it sits there and keeps doing that till finally it gets it.
Right. Well, Marty, if we have people who have any further questions or would just like to talk to someone about this, who should they contact?
They can contact any of us at Appalachian Wireless. The office number there is 606-438-2355, mm-hmm. and ask to speak with someone in the regulatory department.
Okay.
And they will be glad to come out and talk with you. They can contact me personally. My phone number is 606-477-0016. Be glad to answer any questions or come out and talk with anyone that has any concerns with it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming out, Marty. We really appreciate your time, and we hope this was enlightening for some folks. And if you do have any further questions, of course, all these shows are backed up on the WSKV website, so you can pull it back up and refer back to that number. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And thank you again, Marty. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Corey.